Hey, Switch Club fam, Eric here, your friendly neighborhood podcast editor. And I just wanted to remind you all that if you haven't already, head on over to patreon.com/thesuperswitchclub to vote in our NES bracket to help us decide which game we're playing next for Season 7. We've still got a couple more bonus episodes coming out on our speedrun season with Mario Kart Super Circuit and F-Zero 99. But in the meantime, I figured going forward it might be fun to do the occasional disassembled style podcast on this channel between the seasons. Or just as things come up to really dive into specific games and Nintendo news in more of a normal podcast format. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go check out our other podcast on the network, Podcasters Assemble, where Troidal Power first pioneered the chaotic editing style that we use on the main episodes of this very show. I figured this could be a fun way to engage with our audience and maybe have a more casual conversation with some of the regulars about specific topics, like ranking the games we've played so far in previous seasons, talking about the Zelda timeline, maybe doing some more online multiplayer sessions for games like GoldenEye or Mario Kart 64, talking about recent games on the Switch, covering news from the latest Nintendo Directs, or maybe even doing a quick playthrough of some of the shorter games from the NSO library. Again, thank you all so much for listening. You can help us out by sharing this podcast with your friends, and let us know what games and franchises you would like to see us cover in the not-too-distant future.
Super Switch Club Undocked!
Alrighty, so yeah, we're doing something a little different today.
Alright, go for it.
Welcome back once again. I'm Eric Slater from Epic Fails of History and Podcaster Zumble, and I'm joined today by my fellow editor, Frost.
Hello.
And Caslo25 from Twitch.
Yo, yo, yo.
And this is the Super Switch Club Unplugged? Undocked? I can't remember. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, we're doing something a little different today. We're basically doing a regular podcast for once, and we might do these occasionally just as kind of like supplemental and material in between the seasons. But yeah, I figured this would be a fun one to start with. We've got a couple topics we're going to tackle today, but mostly we're here to talk about the recent announcement that they're going to be doing a live-action Legend of Zelda movie, which, I don't know, pretty exciting to some of us, maybe terrifying to others. We'll definitely dig into it. But I figured we'd start with, what have you guys been playing? What are you guys up to lately?
Frost, if you want to go.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We need an order, right? We need to establish an order. Of course. I have been playing. So I've been trying to get through as much as I can because Caslo knows he's in the RPG Years Discord that there's like a slew of gaming clubs going on at this time. So I just finished Disco Elysium, which was really cool. I definitely recommend that. I was kind of adverse to playing that at first, but then once I got into it, I was like, half the time I'm falling asleep playing it, and the other time I'm like, this is the weirdest, you know, whatever that's going on here. So I need to keep going, right? And that was really fun. I also am playing Final Fantasy VI for a club, which I'm not speedrunning, but essentially speedrunning since I've played it so many times. I'm supposed to be playing Skies of Arcadia, but I haven't really had a ton of time. And then I recently just started Darksiders the other day, which is way more fun than I thought it was going to be. It's like,
yeah,
well, that series is amazing.
It's like 3D Zelda mixed with God of War, and it's just, it's really fun.
I've heard good things.
The second game is really fun also because they add in Diablo-style loot throughout it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Plus, you get to play as Death instead of
War.
Instead of War.
Cool.
That's cool. What about you, Caslo?
I just started working on a playthrough of Suikoden 5, which is one of the like two Suikoden games I haven't played. The like spiritual successor is coming out this April, Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes. And I just played the prequel game for that, which was a lot of fun. So I'm trying to get a playthrough of that done before that comes out. And this one's the longest one. It's like 50 hours. I'm about 7 hours in now.
Nice.
So getting really started on that. I'm also doing Disco Elysium along with Frost. I actually stopped where I think we were supposed to stop for our most recent checkpoint, but yeah, who really knows?
Blew through that checkpoint, just kept going.
Well, I mean, I did that checkpoint, and then I'm like, I think I've done the next one too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, since you don't know, it's a very non-linear game, so it's like you.
Oh.
Yeah, so establishing checkpoints for the game club was very difficult.
Because it's like a detective noir type one.
Oh, that's really awesome. So you're like uncovering.
Yeah,
stuff.
And so you're trying to solve a murder, and you're interviewing like witnesses. You're checking out the body for clues, stuff like that. And so going all around the city, you're seeing different things, and everybody can go kind of in a different path, even though there's some like. Time-gated stuff to kind of really point you in certain directions.
Nice. That's awesome.
And then other than that, I'm really playing Final Fantasy 14 a little bit each week just with friends for trying to finish out the Raid series before the expansion drops next summer. And then I've started to get back into Trails to Zero, the first Crossbell Trails game, because it had been sitting in my Switch for a while, and I just got a Nitro deck, which is a company that works with limited run games, made like a dock that you can drop your Switch into for a more ergonomic, like Joy-Cons, for lack of a better way to describe it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
And it's got programmable buttons on the back of it.
Oh, nice. That's
awesome.
Which right now are just programmed to L bumper and L trigger and right bumper and right trigger.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you have, I mean, Eric, I'm sure you have lots of time for gaming. So what have you been doing?
Well, I've been making some time. I've been playing a lot of F-099, which I'll be talking about on the upcoming episode. The nice thing about games like that is you can really just pick them up whenever. So yeah, that's been a lot of fun. You know, I was a huge fan of the original. So it's been, it's like I got a lot of nostalgia for the F-Zero games, for the F-Zero franchise. But on top of that, I've been kind of bouncing back and forth between not Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on that episode only because I just didn't get around to recording about it. I was like, had a lot of other projects I was juggling. I was like, yeah, it's a bonus episode, it's fine. But I felt kind of bad because I was like, oh man, I kind of wish I was on this episode because I really do love that game. I was a huge fan of Breath of the Wild. And it just like builds on everything that game established, basically, but does some really unique things with that concept.
Yeah. I'll let you in on a little editor's secret from that. I had not finished the game when I edited it. And Lokothor spoiled the ending. I was determined not to be spoiled. So I legitimately was like, seems like it's about here to here, paste it into the episode and hope that it's right.
Yeah.
So I submitted it, without, for publishing without having actually listened to the last 5 minutes.
Oh man.
I tried to be as kind as I could with my submission of being like, I'm not going to try and spoil anything.
Yeah. The episode sounded pretty good. I liked it. But yeah, for whatever reason, when it comes to Zelda games, I always really take my time. So it took me like 3 years or more to get through Breath of the Wild. So it's probably going to take me another couple years at least to get through Tears of the Kingdom, I think. I like to savor it, I beat Breath of the Wild right before the new one came out. I didn't plan it that way, but it kind of worked out nicely.
You could be like Doug and put 400 hours into it or something in like a month. I don't even know how that's possible.
Oh man, that's crazy. But yeah, the best thing about that one though was just exploring the map, and it's kind of the same with this one, so definitely enjoying that. But the other Switch game I've been playing is Super Mario Wonder.
Welcome to the Flower Kingdom. It's a new adventure full of familiar. Huh, what's this? Whoa, what's happening? Stars falling, bulls charging, rockets blasting, silhouettes silhouetting, Mario and friends transforming. Plus, you and up to 3 players can adventure together. Jump into the unexpected in Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Which I just couldn't resist. I had to pick it up, as fast as possible. I've always been a big fan of the Mario series. Have you guys played this one yet?
So in an attempt to be up to speed for this conversation, I watched 2 reviews and then I broke out new Super Mario Brothers Deluxe today just to get a reminder of what it's like to play 2D Mario's. Yeah. So I had a lot of fun with that. And
nice.
It seems like it's just sort of building on, the 2D Mario formula. It does a great job of it. The art looks amazing. That's like the number one thing that stood out to me was like the art
on the Switch looks great. So
there's a lot of what I've seen, a lot of really good tiny animations that just add a lot of flair.
Yeah. It's hard to describe, but yeah, there's like these little touches. I'm glad you pointed out each character has their own unique animations for different moves. So like going down a warp pipe, you know, it's different, you know, than if Daisy does it, it's different than the way Luigi does it and things like that. But there's like a lot of little touches and it's hard to explain because there's so many little details like that throughout. They put a lot into this one. The thing I really appreciated about it, though, is like compared to the more recent Mario, or I should say more recent 2D Mario games, they really did something a little different this time. I don't know how to quite describe that, but like the original games each have their own feel, but then you got to the new Super Mario Brothers games and they were kind of the same thing over and over again, just with different types of levels and things like that. They would occasionally add different elements in, but it felt like the same kind of gameplay, same mechanics. They didn't really shake things up too much for like, five games or something like that. Like between like DS, Wii, Wii U and all that. Like it was kind of that same formula, if that makes sense. With Super Mario Wonder, they shook things up, you know, like I was sort of worried after like the Mario Maker games, which I also really like. I was sort of worried, like, how do you make a new Mario game after this? Because like, everything, you can pretty much do all the different levels and all that. But they did something that like you couldn't make with Mario Maker, if that makes sense. Like, and it's in a whole new world. Like usually it's in the Mushroom Kingdom, but this is the Flower Kingdom. So that was kind of unique. I do wish the dialogue was a little better because like, I mean, it's a Mario game. You don't need like this, you know, epic story or whatever. But like, if you go back to like Mario RPG, like the dialogue in that game was really like great, like the story and everything. So if like you're gonna include a story with like dialogue and stuff, like maybe hire a good writer, because some of that was like, oh my god, that's so cheesy, you know. It's fine, it you don't go to a Mario game for the story, but man, they deliver on everything else, you know. I
heard the flower things are really unique, like the way they handled I don't know for what they're called, like the super flower things.
I don't even know what they're called either, but there's a lot of, the badges maybe is what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the ones you collect. Sure. In the stages that change the world into
the
like,
trippy ones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, like, yeah. LSD, so that's flowers. One of the coolest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one of the coolest things in the game. They're called Wonder Seeds.
Yeah,
I think
that's it.
And each level has a unique one and they totally do something completely different each time. And again, it's like, it's impossible to describe. You just have to experience it for yourself.
Yeah. From hearing people describe it, it's like all of a sudden Mario's like a rail shooter or something. I know it's not, but yeah, it's like that's something like that, where it's like completely different.
Yeah. There's some really interesting ones. There's one where you're like suddenly walking on the wall and it's like a top down view. It gets weird. It's very disorienting, but pretty neat. Pretty neat. I'm not too far into the game, but so far I'm loving it. You know, it's just really cool. All the new powers and stuff, like they really put a lot in here. And it was great to play as Daisy finally, you know, in a Mario game. So
how have you enjoyed the talking flowers?
Those can be a little annoying at times. Like I'm glad you brought that up. That's one of my one of the things I would knock off points for is I wish there was an option to like mute all the character voices, not just the flowers, but like the characters themselves make sounds and voice, you know, they have their own voices, which is fine. But sometimes I just want to like listen to the background music and stuff because there's some great music and it's like, you know, drowned out by all these like weird sound effects. So I wish I could like adjust the volume on that. It's weird that that's not an option. But yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So far I'd give it like maybe a 9 out of 10, you know, if you like Mario games, it's a must play for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll pick it up eventually. It's just one of those things where I wouldn't even have time to play it. I've had Octopath Traveler 2 for like a month now, and I haven't even loaded it up.
I mean, you're just afraid of that secret final boss.
But yeah, so I guess let's get into the main topic today. You know, Nintendo announced a live-action Zelda movie. What were your initial reactions, I guess?
Let's go to Caslo for this one.
I was a little caught off guard because for two reasons. One, that was just like randomly put out on Twitter by Miyamoto. I didn't expect that was the way they would announce it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that they're doing live action. Mm-hmm. When it seemed like, A, the Mario movie did really well as a CG Illumination Studios thing. And the last time they did something live action, well, actually, the most famous last thing that they did that was live action was,
sure. was the an greatest utter movie failure. Ever made.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of my favorite worst movies, but...
yeah, it's a fun battle.
But, I mean, they have had some success with some live action stuff recently with Detective Pikachu.
Oh, yeah.
Put down the stapler, or I will electrocute you.
Whoa, did you just understand me?
Talking.
Now, let's move.
No one else can hear him.
Well, this is a first for me too, kid.
And so it could be that movie maybe inspired him to go, well, actually, we can probably dip our toes back in live action.
Mm. What do you think, Frost?
I'm wary. I think they'll do a good job of it because they kind of have to. But I'm kind of, I'm like...
A lot of pressure.
See, the thing is, with Mario, it was just like it was like a blank slate, right? It's like, it's Mario. All you need is some mushrooms and a princess and you're good to go.
You just got
to
include all the elements.
And I know people have been like trying to like, are they going to tell one of the stories of the games? I'm like, no way. They're not going to go near any of that. They can't. They can't. And it's like half the time Link's 10, right? So you can't even do half.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like, you know,
especially
the perfect,
live action.
Yeah, I was like, the perfect live action adaptation would be for Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. You gotta...
Wow.
We always got to bring it full circle.
Statement.
But yeah, the main issue is that they're not going to make a game where they fridge Zelda for the whole game, right? No. They're not going to be like, or Zelda's asleep or Zelda's captured. Like, Zelda's going to be part of the movie, right? So it's going to be completely different.
For sure.
Maybe you could do like a Skyward Sword type of deal because she was like in that like for a while and you could tell like a prophecy story and stuff like that. But it'd be interesting to see how it turns out. I wasn't, when I heard live action, I was like, I don't know about this, but we'll see.
I was kind of surprised about the live action bit as well. I still trust them though, because to me, they absolutely nailed the Mario movie. Like, I don't think they could have done a better job with that. You know, I assumed, well, I didn't really assume, I didn't know what they were going to do, but I always felt like a Studio Ghibli Zelda movie would be the way to go. You know, like just animated, but like hand-drawn animation, like really well-done animation to do it justice, you know what I mean? But since they are doing this as live action, I got my fingers crossed, you know? Like, I feel like it sounds like they put a lot of thought into it, so they're not just like, you know, throwing things against the wall to see what sticks. It sounds like they're really thinking through a plan because Miyamoto said that they've been talking about this for years, right?
Yeah, like I think 10, he mentioned 10 that. Years.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. So, you know, it sounds like they pretty much already know what they're doing. So they've taken their time to really figure that out ahead of time, which is good. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I do have some reservations, and the main one is that Avi Arad is attached. Also Sony Pictures, which can kind of go either way. But
the director's the Maze Runner guy? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, he's still new, so, I mean, we'll see, you know.
It's going to be YA Zelda.
He's done something else more recently, I'm trying to remember.
He's doing the new Planet of the Apes, I think.
That's what it is. I was like, there's something coming up.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because the trailer to that looks great. I don't know if you guys have seen the recent Planet of the Apes movies. It's like a whole new series.
I've seen
like Rise,
the ones with Rise. With what's his name? The guy who played Gollum.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Andy Serkis. Yeah.
Doing the Caesar in that.
It's kind
I've
of
seen,
a continuation.
I don't know if I've seen all of those.
There's only three so far.
Okay, then I've seen them all.
Yeah. Yeah. So this would be the fourth one, but it's like a time jump. It takes place way further on.
Well, I mean, it's been a time jump since the last movie.
Yeah, it has.
It feels like it's been like 10 years since the last one.
Dude, 2020, man. That
really?
Did it.
Really?
Yeah.
Or no.
Well, no. I think that's because the last one came out before 2020.
I was gonna say, like the last one came out
in
2014.
No, 2020 felt like 10 years.
It has been 10 years itself. Then.
Yeah.
No, but so what do you guys want from a Zelda movie? Let's start there.
I think Frost was going towards something that I was thinking about, which is they can't just take one of the games and make it. That's not going to happen. It wouldn't work, I don't think. But I think there's elements of certain ones that you can take, like a Link that's more like this. Like, I think a Link that like comes up as like somebody who's looking to save his village or something like that to kick off his journey. Like out of, I think like Twilight Princess, or even, I don't like the Ocarina of Time starting point for Link in that one.
Oh, really?
For a movie.
For live action.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like 8, right?
So. Yeah, he's...
Yeah, and like his whole village dies. And they're all forest children. It's... Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But I think also the idea of you've got to use Zelda throughout. And I don't think just throwing her with Ganondorf the whole time makes the most sense either. Mm, I actually was getting the idea that one of the things that I absolutely loved from Tears of the Kingdom is that opening when Link and Zelda are walking down into the ruins, and kind of Link being the protector, Zelda being kind of the researcher. And so like, I could really see them playing off each other in like dungeon type segments for the movie.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
With Zelda being the one that's kind of trying to solve the puzzles while like Link's fighting off waves of enemies.
Yeah, it's almost weird that they haven't done that for a game yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't think you do Pig Ganon. I think you've got to do Ganondorf.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, like, you're really got to go to Ocarina of Time and Tears of the Kingdom. I think Tears of the Kingdom's Ganondorf has a much better, like, kind of origin feel to it. So I think they could go with something more like that.
Mm. So, yeah, you want, like, the bad guy to be, like, a real person who then gets magic powers or something.
I mean, that's going to be everybody in the movie, yeah, almost. Because that happens with Link with getting the Master Sword.
Yeah.
Zelda finally getting the Triforce of Curse's Wisdom, right? It's been forever.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, Zelda has wisdom, Ganon has power, and Link has courage.
Well, do you think they'll have a Triforce? The last two games haven't had Triforces in them. I mean, they've had some imagery, but there's been no sign of the Triforce.
I sort of feel like it has to be woven into the plot somehow, because this is like the first movie, and you have to imagine that the audience is going to be like, yeah, gamers are going to show up for sure, but this has to work for a whole new audience as well, you know? So people who don't know anything about Zelda, it seems like the Triforce should work in somehow, even if it's not like an item they're after. I kind of like what Ocarina did, where like they already had the pieces within them. I don't know how that would work narrative wise, but I thought that was kind of a cool concept, you know, something like that. So, this is something, a Zelda movie is kind of something I've always wanted as a fan, you know, as far as Nintendo franchises, Zelda's like at the top, you know. I think there's something there with the story, but I've always been kind of like, how do you do that? Like, I always thought it'd be cool to see like a trilogy, and that might be kind of ambitious, but it just feels right with the Triforce and all that. Mm. But again, it's like, how do you pull that off? You have to get the first one right first. But yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see what they do. There's a lot of games they could pull from, obviously. Like you guys have mentioned, I do feel like Ocarina does have a good framework as far as like the hero's journey arc, but you would have to change some details, of course, you know, especially if it's live action. Like, I could totally see them pulling it off animated, but again, child actors are, you know, like, it's hard to kind of get that right, you know?
And I think people are starting to get a little tired of time travel.
Yeah, and that's
which would be an issue.
Yeah, totally. So there's a few elements there that might not work, but I always liked like the Sheik twist with Zelda herself. I thought that could be cool in a movie. Ganondorf, of course, I think is like one of the best versions of Ganon that would work well for live action, I think. And some of the elements, like the locations and stuff, but definitely like Breath of the Wild, like, really did something kind of unique with a lot of those elements. And I would like to kind of see like that version of Princess Zelda, like a more active role in the story, stuff like that. Like, it's the little things, but again, you can't, like Frost said, you can't just adapt one of the games and expect it to work as a movie.
Yeah.
I would expect different elements from different games, you know, but yeah, Ocarina, Breath of the Wild would be another one to pull inspiration from, maybe Link to the Past, 'cause that's like one of the more iconic ones. But I don't know about the whole, like, you can't get too complicated with the story, you know, at least in the first movie, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking they're going to stick with sort of the sword and shield version and probably not do any of the Sheikah Slate / the stuff from Skyward Sword, that all the ancient Ozo technology, whatever the hell it's called. Yeah.
Although I did really, there were certain things in Skyward Sword, even though that's not my favorite Zelda game, it has one of the best stories, I think. And that's mostly because of Link and Zelda's interactions and stuff. Like, all the character stuff was great in that one. So, you know, I don't necessarily think they should pull, like, story elements from that one, but maybe take a look at, like, how they dealt with the characters.
Hmm.
But yeah. So what do you guys want them to avoid, I guess?
Chris Pratt.
Okay, fair enough.
Water temples.
Ooh. Oh, jeez. I feel like a water temple kind of has to be in the movie now. That'd be interesting. I mean,
but honestly, Tingle. That's what I don't want.
I saw a cast list and it was Danny DeVito playing Tingle. That was like, yes.
I've also seen Martin Short as Tingle.
Oh, geez. That one's a little closer to correct. Do you think we'll get Shadow Link?
Ooh, that would be interesting. I mean, that could work if it's worked in properly, you know?
But you got to do it like Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Just like a throwaway comment at the end. Now you have to face yourself.
Nega Link,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna go get burritos next week.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's a post-credit scene, you know? You know, again, thinking about this as a trilogy, I think it would be cool to eventually see stuff like Majora's Mask, like elements like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a whole Majora's Mask movie, but...
More time travel.
The time travel stuff would be hard, I guess. But yeah, just the Skull Kid, you know?
Let me ask. So sure. There's a couple of ideas that are bouncing around in my head, and if they do any of them, then they've failed because engineer, not a screenwriter.
Sure.
But so I'm like throwing around like the Zeldas we've seen, right? Mm-hmm. And so, or the types of things we've seen. And I was like, you can go complete farce, like the cartoon, right?
Oh, where that's like,
well,
what I don't.
Excuse me.
Yeah, excuse me, princess.
Hey, excuse me, princess.
Right. That's what I don't want from a Zelda movie. That
you
right
don't
there.
Want that. They have to say it though. I mean, they did the Mario Brothers commercial in the Mario movies. Yeah. Someone's gonna say, "Excuse me." Maybe Zelda says it. Maybe Danny DeVito says it. Who knows?
Yeah, his cameo is Tingle in the background.
But then, have you guys seen like the latest Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Oh yeah.
Honor
I thought they did
Thieves.
A good job with that. Yeah.
So they could do something like that where it's like semi-serious but also like comedic,
like
in,
some
like,
winks
a lot of
at the
elements.
Yeah, that could work. Like winks.
That feels like if, that feels like what they did with Mario. That might be what they want to do with these movies.
Mm. Yeah, more lighthearted approach.
Mm-hmm.
That might honestly be the way to go, especially if they're kind of going for like a popcorn movie feel. Like again, it's going to be live action, but because of some of the elements of Zelda being kind of weird. You know, like maybe like that's the right tone to go, you know, like it's kind of tough to, I don't know. I still kind of want it somewhat serious. I don't want it to be like slapstick, but there is a balance that they could definitely find there, I think.
Or it's just, it's hard R Game of Thrones style.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
The real hard war story.
Yeah. Just like Link working through his PTSD. Do you guys remember, I think IGN, this was a while back, but IGN did like a fake April Fool's Day trailer. It was like a fake trailer for a Zelda movie. Do you guys remember that?
I've got something special lined up today. I'm taking the harvest to Castletown Market. And you're coming with me. Now mind your manners and do what I say. Speak to no one. And for goodness sake, don't touch anything.
I've been waiting for you, Link. You've been kept safe, guarded by a secret race. For this very day, the kingdom of Hyrule will fall. Nothing can stop the evil which has crept inside these walls. I am too late. This is the Temple of Time, When these doors open again, it will be 7 years in the past. Find me again.
The only fake trailer that can pop into my head right now is Pedro Pascal Mario Kart.
That was great. But yeah, it was really funny because like it actually fooled me. And part of the trailer like was actually really well done. I was like, oh, it's really happening. But then about halfway through, you could tell like they had like zero budget on this. Like Ganondorf's eyebrows were falling off or something. Like it looks real, real bad. But I was like watching on like a little screen, so I didn't really notice right away. But yeah, yeah, fingers crossed on this one. I'm excited, sort of. Like, I'm a little nervous, but I'm mostly excited, if that makes sense. I don't know. So, I know we had a little discussion on Discord about, like, what the cast should be. And I think it was you, Caslo, that pulled up, like, an AI list of the cast.
Yeah, I ChatGPT'd it.
Yeah. I thought that there were some good ones in there. I don't know if you want to, like, pull that up or...
Yeah, I think they nailed Zelda.
Yeah.
Is the one that, like, stuck out to me.
But yeah, there were some interesting ones on here, like Ganondorf is Oscar Isaac's, I think that could work. You know, he's kind of a chameleon. I thought he did.
I've
okay
seen a lot of people
Apocalypse.
Also talk about Idris Elba.
Oh, that would be good casting. Yeah. That deep voice,
I think for like the main, like the Zelda and Link, they kind of have to go unknowns. Like it'd be very weird for Zelda to be, or for Link to be played by like Tom Holland or something like that. And it's like,
I was kind of looking around and one name that I think could work, and actually has ties to this director, is, Thomas Brody Sangster.
No idea.
He played Newt in the Maze Runner movies.
Oh, okay. I still got to watch him.
He also was in, Love Actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
As he was like the little kid in Love Actually.
Whoa. So he's a lot older now, I assume.
Yeah. He's actually 33, which he looks like he's like 19.
That's nuts.
But he's got that like twinkish look that Link always has.
Yeah. Yeah, I think an unknown's definitely the way to go, and you don't want like, I mean, obviously, you know, like not like a Dwayne the Rock Johnson type or something. Like,
what are you talking about? He's going to play a Goron.
That would actually, that might work. Yeah, actually, work. Yeah, further down the list, yeah, there is.
He plays Big Goron, and he's like.
that would be perfect, actually. That could definitely work. You know, and so the AI one, it had Michelle Yeoh as Impa, which I think's great. She could, you know, be in anything, but I could definitely see her in that role. Aubrey Plaza as Navi. Now, I don't necessarily think Navi even needs to be a character, but that would be hilarious. Just like sarcastic the whole time.
Hey, listen.
Yeah. King, was it King Rome? Liam Neeson. That's interesting.
That's got to be Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, now, right. I could see that. Yeah, Pedro Pascal would be good in that role. Let's see. Midna. I'm not familiar with that one. That does look familiar. She was in something.
I think she was in the Black Panther movies.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And then Rudo is Anya Taylor-Joy and Sheik is Rami Malek, which doesn't make any sense, but it's hilarious.
That doesn't make any sense, actually.
Because Zelda's played by a different person.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty fun. That was a cool
The list. Link on that list threw me off because Taron Egerton is not who I would think for Link.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Eggsy, but...
Yeah, He, you know,
and he was great in Rocket Man too.
I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad if he was cast, if that makes sense. But it is, an odd choice. He's a good actor though, for sure. So yeah, what do you guys think? What are some that do you have like any specific actors you would like, you know, definitely want in this movie?
No, I mean, I don't really want to see anyone I know is kind of the issue. Maybe sure. The villain, maybe Ganondorf can be, you know, like a known quantity, but
again, Idris Elba, that was a good pull.
It's going to be distracting to like, you know,
when
Chris Pratt is playing the chief of the Zoras, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, I can
actually. So you could do something like that because like the Zoras are going to be CGI, right?
Sure.
So then you could have, you know, some actors we know in those roles.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see someone's face and be like that's not. They need someone who looks like you know, a Link in a Zelda.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe they put Taylor Swift in as Zelda, sell some tickets.
So I actually think Anya Taylor-Joy might work as Zelda. I know she was listed as Ruto, but I actually think she could pull off.
She definitely has the build.
Yeah.
Like very waifish.
Yeah. And she's a good actor, so.
No, I just I don't think her voice fits Zelda. Mm. But her voice really didn't fit Peach either.
Oh yeah, I forgot she was in the Yeah, so they'll probably cast completely different people from the Mario movie, I would assume. So they're probably off the, you know, off the board. Like Jack Black's not going to be Ganondorf for sure. I would hope.
But could you imagine?
I mean, he's great in everything.
Maybe the end credits, he's playing the piano.
Peaches, 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 peaches. Oh yeah.
Oh, he's Tingle. He'll be Tingle.
Yeah. He could play Tingle.
Yeah, he could play Tingle. But yeah, no, I'm curious to see because we don't even know who the characters are going to be. You know, obviously there's the three main ones, but beyond that, it's kind of up to the script, right? Like whichever direction they decide to go in.
Bring back Revali. He's the best.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm down for whatever. I think it's a good point, though. Like you don't want a bunch of known quantities because you want to be able to kind of get sucked into the world, you know, and that could be a detractor. Speaking of Nintendo movies, what other properties do you think might work in live action?
What would work? I think something like my first thing was like Metroid will work. Yeah. And I'm like, they made those movies. Absolutely. They were called Alien.
Yeah. So true. I'd be totally down for a Metroid movie. You know, I think that could translate really well to live action. Like even before this, I kind of figured if they were going to do Metroid, it kind of has to be live action, right? But yeah, I don't know about Kirby. Kirby might be weird in live action. It might be kind of creepy. Unless you want to go for like A24 film, you know, like horror movie style, you know.
I do think Star Fox could work.
In live action?
Maybe not live action. I was actually thinking, and this is completely off the wall, and they would never do it, but puppets.
Oh, I would be so down for that.
Because do you remember the E3 mm-hmm. where they had the like puppet Star Fox characters?
Nintendo 62, Nintendo 63, Nintendo 64. My puppet body is ready.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh geez.
Or no, it's the old car. It was the old commercials.
Yeah,
that's where it was from. Yeah,
I think they recreated it for one of the newer games or something. But yeah, like the original artwork for the Super Nintendo Star Fox had like these puppet characters. It was kind of like a throwback to was it Thunderbirds or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, I honestly think that could work really well. It'd have like this cool like retro feel to it, you know? Yeah,
and like lean into that retroness.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. You know, that would be fun. I'm all about that stop motion or whatever.
Maybe some Starship Trooper style like humor.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, Star Fox would be interesting because it's kind of like it would almost have to be sort of maybe not a spoof, but like it is riffing on like a lot of sci-fi franchises, just mm-hmm. kind of doing something a little different,
like a Galaxy Quest kind of deal.
Yeah, I feel like the tone would definitely have to be a little lighter on that one for it to work. But yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a trying to think of other major Nintendo properties, and I just you always come back to
because I don't think Mario Pikmin would work.
Yeah, Pikmin.
The Animal Crossing movie is already in production, I'm sure.
Oh man, I don't know how that. Yeah, I don't know. Now I could see a F-Zero movie working it with the right script, you know.
Do it like Mad, do it like Twisted Metal style.
Yeah, yeah. Like I don't know. I was thinking like sort of like a Mad Max kind of approach.
Oh,
almost like like Speed Racer, but more serious. If that makes sense.
I was gonna say, did you see the Speed Racer movie they made?
Yeah. I have mixed feelings. Like, I kind of enjoyed it the first time I saw it, but then going back to it more recently, it just didn't hold up at all.
Sure. There's something that I think I appreciated about it, and I think it was that
sure.
They just went full on weird.
Yeah, they definitely went weird with it. But yeah, there was like I could almost appreciate the artisticness of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was very bold, very colorful. I did like the colors. But I was thinking like, I don't know, Days of Thunder or something, but like sci-fi, you know, just like make it like a really serious racing movie with some like crazy freaking tracks and stuff, you know? So, yeah, you know, like a whole movie of pod racing, basically. Not that Phantom Menace is great or anything, but like that scene was cool. And just do like a whole movie like that with more character development.
Do you think we'll get a Mario movie sequel, and will it have Wario in it?
Yes. I
feel like they're afraid of using Wario and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's either going to be Wario or the Koopa Kids, you know. I feel like that's the way to go with that. One or the other. Or Wart. Just do like Super Mario Brothers 2 as a movie. That'd be weird.
That was a dream. That did not happen.
Yeah.
That was a dream.
I don't know. I'm super excited. I feel like they're absolutely going to follow that one up because it made all the money.
Yeah.
But I think before that, we'll probably get like a Donkey Kong Country movie, or at least I'm hoping, because they definitely set it up, you know. In this
a Donkey movie. Kong spinoff could work.
Yeah, especially with like Seth Rogen.
Yeah. The other two franchises that I see that could potentially be movies... One is Fire Emblem.
That could be epic.
But that's just a simple war movie. It's not really... You could make anything and slap it on there, really.
Sure.
And if they really wanted to go hardcore, just do a Xenoblade movie. But, I mean, that's what the games are already.
Yeah, games are movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're going to get another Pokemon at some point,
oh,
right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu is great.
I think there's a Detective Pikachu 2 already in the works.
Oh, nice.
And then the question is, do we get a Nintendo DC or CU, and do we get Smash Brothers, the crossover film?
Man. I wouldn't count on it. It would be cool, but like it would be so contrived to make that work, you know?
But if they could get John Leguizamo Luigi to come back for it.
You know, I'm surprised he didn't have like a cameo or something in this last one.
Well, you just have to go back to the roots. You have to go back to Captain N and the N team, which brought all the different franchises together.
Including non-Nintendo franchises.
Yeah. Wasn't like Castlevania like in there and stuff?
Yeah, and Chainsmoker Mega Man.
Yeah.
Wake up, Kid Icarus.
Welcome to Castlevania!
Land.
Mama Mine will get you, little princess!
Princess, the palace is under siege!
Behold, the ultimate warp zone!
Kevin, I thought I told you to clean up your room. Whoa!
Captain N, the Game Master.
Wasn't like Samus a dude or something? They got like all kinds of details wrong, you know? Oh man. I wouldn't mind a reboot, like if they wanted to like bring that back as a show or something, just like update it, obviously. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they end up doing, you know. I think there's a lot of potential here in a lot of these franchises. Again, Zelda, Metroid, Mario. Kirby could maybe work CG, but I definitely hope they don't touch that as live action. But yeah, we'll see. It kind of depends on this Zelda movie, like if it does well. If it doesn't, then we might not get a lot more Nintendo movies going forward, you know? Cautiously optimistic, let's just say that.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
So yeah, before we go, I wanted to talk about like some upcoming games. Are there any upcoming releases you guys are excited about?
FF7 Remake Part 2.
Ooh, yeah. I still got to play Part 1.
That's about it.
Is Part 2 the rest of the game, or are they like really like splitting it up?
It's going to be three games.
Three games?
What I think they've now said.
Yeah, I might wait for all three, because they'll probably come out with like a deluxe edition or whatever. I don't know. But I want to play the whole game.
Yeah, that's really all I'm looking forward to at this point. I don't even know if anything else is coming out. I haven't looked. I have my calendar for February and March just completely wiped clean.
Yeah, I gotcha. What about you, Kazlo?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Persona Tactica coming this week, which I want to play at some point, but I'm overloaded. I also do have Mario RPG coming as well.
Definitely excited about that one.
But I mean, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is up there. And I mentioned earlier, Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes coming out in April. That's probably the game I'm looking to most in like the next 6 months.
Okay.
In the next year is probably the 14 expansion Dawn Trail. Yeah, that's all on my radar.
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to say this in hopes that I speak it into existence.
Yeah.
Can we please have the Dragon Quest III 2D, 3D remake, please?
Finally. That needs to come out. They announced that, 3 years ago, and we haven't heard anything?
We're coming up on the 3-year anniversary, of the announcement trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Paper Mario remake.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
The Thousand Year Door remake.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, they should do, a collection or something, because there's been a lot of those games, right?
Thousand Year Door.
Yes and no. There's two that are really, RPGs, and then there are a lot that are adjacent.
Yeah.
Because I forget the name of the one that was on the Wii, but it was more of a platformer.
Oh, yeah, it was. I did play that one. That was, what was it called? It was the one
Origami King?
No.
No, I don't think it was. It was Super Paper Mario or something.
It was Super Paper Mario.
But it had this weird mechanic where you would flip from 3D to 2D or something. And that was kind of interesting, but it was a little bit different from what you typically get in a Paper Mario game.
And then they had Sticker Star and Origami King and Color Splash.
Okay.
But those were less of RPGs.
Okay.
Even though they still had turn-based battles.
Yeah.
It was less about leveling up and gaining stats.
I actually haven't played much of the Paper Mario series, so I'm kind of curious about that. I did play a lot of the Mario and Luigi games on Game Boy Advance or whatever. Those were really fun, actually.
Speaking of, there's the greatest idea for a new Mario and Luigi game that they are not taking the opportunity to do.
What?
Which is a Wario and Waluigi RPG game.
That would be amazing. That'd be pretty clever. Yeah, totally agreed there.
I was going to say one of the things that's rumored to be, I don't know if it's confirmed, and then would also make a good movie is Luigi's Mansion 4, I think is supposedly being worked on. And I think, we didn't talk about Luigi's Mansion as a property, but I think that would also work as an animated film.
That could easily be a spinoff. I feel like there was a couple references to it in the movie, in the Mario movie, I should say. That could totally work. I loved the first game. I never did play the other ones, but I think it was the third one was supposedly really good.
It's excellent.
Nice. Definitely got to figure out how to get my hands on that at some point. But yeah, so speaking of Mario RPGs, though, Mario RPG, the remake's coming out.
On a seemingly normal day, Mario went to Bowser's Keep to rescue Peach. But just as he was about to save her, a giant sword fell from the sky and pierced through the castle. Now, it's up to Mario and his allies, including Bowser, to save the keep and save the world. A quirky and unusual adventure is about to begin. Super Mario RPG.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about that game. I love the original, and it was always... I'm not even a huge RPG guy, but, for some reason, that one, really sucked me in. And I always felt like a game that kind of deserved, a remake. I never thought it would happen, but it's actually happening. So that one I'm pretty excited about. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts? Have you guys played it?
It has some great characters that I wish Square and Nintendo would work something out to use elsewhere.
Right.
Like, I love Mallow as much as I don't use him in the game.
Yeah, Mallow.
I love him as a character.
He's like, he's the cloud that thinks he's a frog or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Gino's great.
Hmm.
He should be in Chrono Cross.
Yeah. There's so much in that game. It's just, it is weird that we haven't seen those elements elsewhere, you know. But hey, if this succeeds.
Surprisingly, Gino has shown up in some other stuff. Oh, really? In really small cameos.
Yeah.
Like, he's in, like, a mini game in the first Mario and Luigi game.
Oh, okay. You both have played Mario RPG back in the day on Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
So, my RPG card, my JRPG card's going to be taken away because I haven't played it. I was too busy playing Seventh Saga.
Okay.
No. I have nightmares of that game.
I'm actually really excited for you to be able to check this out for the first time.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick up the remake, definitely. Yeah. I heard it's really good.
Well, it's one of those games I feel like would actually work really well as a season on this show, but I don't know how we would do that just yet. And of course, we don't want to interrupt our current schedule because we're just getting back into the regular format with doing NES, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, all that. But I feel like once we get through this next cycle, it might be fun to do maybe a Switch game as a season. You know, we'll have to see, kind of see how people are feeling about it. But I feel like this might be a good contender. Mario RPG would be an awesome season. And unfortunately, it's not on Nintendo Switch Online. But I mean, the remake's right there. So could be a good excuse to cover it eventually. I was kind of thinking either that or Metroid Prime. Because, you know, that remaster just came out as well. I don't own it yet, but that's one I'm hoping to get my hands on at some point. But yeah, let's see what else we got.
Oh, the Princess Peach game is also coming out.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Princess Peach will star as the main character in a brand new game.
Almost forgot about that.
That one interested me a lot more than I thought it would. And it might just because we have Fencing Peach.
Yeah. I think it's overdue. I know there was one. I think it was Game Boy Color or something.
It was the DS.
Oh, okay. DS. And
yeah, the original. Yeah.
You know, I haven't played it, so I can't really judge it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this one. It feels, like I said, overdue. She's a cool character, you know. I always used to like to play as her in Super Mario Brothers 2, mostly because of the floating technique.
Yep.
I was a big Toad player.
Yeah. Yeah, it was either Peach or Luigi with that game for me.
I always played as Peach just because the hover was too powerful.
That hover is pretty useful. But, you know, with, you know, her characterization in the new Mario movie, I think, definitely build off of that, you know? I'm glad that they're kind of finally moving away from her being captured all the time, if that makes sense. The whole damsel in distress trope seems to be going away, which is good. Mario Odyssey, we talked about that on that episode, that they kind of went a different route with that. So, you know, I'm glad to see this. This is very cool. But yeah, so we got Season 7 coming up with the NES bracket, which I don't know when this episode's coming out, so this might come out after we already know what we're playing, but what are you guys hoping ends up winning?
I know Caslo wants Star Tropics to win since he's one of the ones who nominated.
Oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
I'm kind of interested. You know what? I haven't played Star Tropics before, so I am kind of interested in that one. I was concerned because it's sort of an RPG, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But it's only about 8 hours. So it's about one Echo the Dolphin.
One Echo.
It's more Zelda-like than RPG-like, I think.
Okay. That's interesting.
Crystalis, however, is RPG-like.
Yeah, that was Doug's pick, I think.
And if I wasn't going to pick my own game, it would probably be between... There's one... Crystalis, River City Ransom, and Blaster Master all kind of have my attention as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I nominated Ghosts and Goblins, which was swiftly eliminated.
No.
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
Because that would be the shortest episode ever of just everyone
brutal.
Throwing their switches down on the ground and walking away.
Right.
I wished I had known that you had nominated that, because I would have put in another audio thing that to put in right after you sang it, which is dang it, Frost.
That's awesome. So yeah, as we're recording this, we don't have the results yet for any of the round two games, but so far it's Star Tropics versus Crystalis, Mario the Lost Levels versus Metroid,
Super Mario Brothers 2 versus River City Ransom, and Super Mario Brothers 3 versus Blaster Master. Now, I nominated Metroid, but I am very curious about Star Tropics, especially after like four people nominated it. I feel like that one's gonna definitely in the running. We'll see what ends up on top, but like, to me, it's like if it's either that or like any of the Mario games, I'll be happy. You know, all of those are classics. All of those would make great seasons.
I think Blaster Master would make a good season.
Totally. Sounds interesting.
We'd have to like break it up. We'd have to be very careful breaking it up because I don't think I've ever gotten past level 5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
With save states.
Yeah.
Like it's
that's just interesting.
It's unbelievably brutal game.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only thing I know about it is the more recent Blaster Master games.
I was kind of worried about even nominating the original Metroid because it's also really hard. Like I don't see myself beating it without save states, you know?
It's weird. That's one game that from my childhood I actually do remember beating.
Oh wow, nice. That's some street cred. I just remember it being brutal.
I don't think it's as hard as Dread. Dread was really hard.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just because I'm old and I was playing on a...
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, the new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like me. Every time I go back to play an old Mega Man game, I'm like, right. I used to be good at this and it used to not feel hard.
Right. Yeah. Same. Like my reaction times just aren't as quick as they used to be, you know? But yeah, yeah. I'm fine with whatever comes out on top. Curious to see. But again, Star Tropics is looking kind of interesting just because it's not one I haven't played it, you know? I'm not familiar with it at all, so... And it sounds like it has a story.
And all the towns end in cola.
Yeah!
We just gotta make sure that everybody has a bowl of water on hand.
What?
I'm assuming...
we'll probably talk about this in the episode, but the game was infamous because it had a, like, piece of paper that came in the box.
Oh, okay.
That you would dip in water... to show a password that you needed in the game at one point.
Oh, it has one of those old-style password protection deals?
That's really interesting.
But it's not like at the start of the game or anything. It is literally like in the game, like halfway through or something, it actually tells you to go do it.
That's nuts. How is that going to work on the... I wonder if
that's the ultimate DRM.
Yeah,
I assume they got rid of it.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they handle that on the NSO.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. All right. Yeah, we'll see what ends up winning. But before we go, I wanted to go ahead and give some quick Patreon shout-outs, especially to our DK Barrel Club members, including Bill from the RPG Years, Josh Murphy from Mushroom Comics, Michael Coleman from Mike's Unedited Let's Plays, and Cal Dranus. Cal Dranus. Dranus? I don't know how to say it. Correct me if I'm wrong. As well as all of our 1UP Mushroom Leaguers, including our latest patron, Josh. The other Josh.
The other Josh.
Yep.
We have two Josh. So big. The podcast's so big, we have two Josh.
Exactly. But yeah, thank you everyone for your support with that. It really does help us keep the show going. And, you know, it's a little incentive for Frost and I to do some editing sometimes. So, but yeah, any final thoughts on... Anything else you guys want to talk about before we start heading out?
I'm just super excited for this NES season. I feel like when we can string out a bunch of episodes in a row and kind of build a decorum between the episodes, or that's not even the right word.
Yeah, totally.
Like a
camaraderie.
Like a narrative. A narrative. Yeah.
I think that's true. Yeah. I know we did something a little bit different, especially this last season with the speedrun stuff. And while I'm glad we did that, I'm also excited to get back to like the regular seasons. Like again, that story arc, you know, we're all working together to get through this game basically, you know? So yeah, that should be a lot of fun, but yeah. And we'll occasionally do like, you know, bonus episodes, some shorter games in between stuff occasionally, like we've been doing, but yeah, this will be a fun season. We should know, which game we're playing. I think before the holidays. So we'll have a schedule and people can go ahead and start playing and start recording their submissions and stuff. And I think the season will officially begin early next year. I think that's how it's going to end up working out schedule-wise. But in the meantime, we've got some other bonus episodes coming out. I know, Frost, you're working on the Mario Kart episode.
Yes.
And I'll be working on the F-Zero episode pretty soon. So, you know, we've got those to look forward to. And yeah, should be a good time.
And if you're a patron and you haven't seen it already, there's a Caslow's recording, right, of the... The game night.
The multiplayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was fun. And we'll have to do stuff like that again, too, on the Patreon. We got to do GoldenEye at some point. Maybe Mario Kart 64.
Well, it's got to win 64.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of possibilities there for sure. And it is really cool that they have multiplayer online with NSO. It's one of the coolest features, I think. So we'll definitely have to take advantage of that again. But yeah, thank you all once again. Where can people find you? I guess we'll, if you want to be found, that is.
Sorry, I keep going out. I'm missing the order here.
No, right? You're good. My bad.
All I could think of is I'm looking at Caslow and I'm like, you could find me on Twitch streaming Final Fantasy 14. Suikoden. Yeah, you can't really find me anywhere except here. And although I do want to plug, I don't know when this is going to go out, but by the end of the year, we are looking for people to finish the Seventh Saga. Me and Bill are donating money to charity for people to
That's awesome.
Finish the game or even just get the first rune. So the idea was if you play the first couple of, you know, hour and a half or so, it hooks in you and then you really want to play it. But
yeah,
it was more like a sunk cost fallacy where like, I already put this much time into it. I'm going to finish the dang thing. But me and Bill were doing that for the charity for motor neuron disease.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's something that Bill's really passionate about, and he does every year, I think. We'll definitely have a link in the show notes. That's still going on, though, right? Is that?
Yeah, so it's we're looking. I need to make the donation by the end of the year for tax reasons.
Okay.
arbitrarily said December 31st.
Okay. Yeah, totally. We'll definitely have the link to that in the show notes if you guys want to contribute. What about you, Caslow?
Well, you can find me both on Twitch and YouTube, just searching Caslow25. I'm a little bit more... doing a little bit more on YouTube than Twitch these days, just because it's easier to be able to record on my own with a toddler than it is to try and set up times to stream.
That's understandable.
but I have knocked out a few series recently on my channel. Going to start gearing up with some more actual videos instead of just Let's Plays as we're coming up on the next Final Fantasy 14 expansion. And just really gearing up for Eiyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes this fall.
Nice. Or
this spring.
Very cool. Very cool. And as always, you can find me on social media at Eric Slater. That's Eric with the K, Slater with the D, D as in Delta. I'm all over the place. I'm always doing something, you know, juggling like 16 projects at once. Got some more writing stuff in the work. You know, my main podcast, Epic Fails of History, Epic with the K, you know, stuff like that. I'm always here. And yeah. Looking forward to season 7.
Yeah. You know what, Eric? I think I want to put the call out. We'll see if we can get this done.
Sure.
But before the next season starts, I think what we need to do is put out a request for favorite episodes of the year or
ooh,
I guess
I like that
year
idea.
And a half or wherever we've been doing this.
That's a great
type
idea.
Deal, favorite moments type deal that we can kind of maybe get edited before
I think we can
the
do
next
that.
Season starts. So we'll have to, we should probably come up with a list of questions we want people to answer. At least that'll be an easy edit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Think about your editors, people, when you're submitting.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we love when you guys are passionate, just try to keep them like, you know, a little under 10 minutes would be preferable. Because if you think about it, like the more people we keep getting on the podcast, like if everyone has like 20 minutes or more, that's exponential. Like you go from like a simple edit to like 3 hours or more pretty quick. But yeah, we really appreciate everyone that's been contributing. Thank you both so much for taking the time to do this. We'll have to do something again soon. And I do love that idea. So we'll definitely have to tackle that.
I'll edit it.
Maybe like rank like the games we've played so far or something. I don't know. That could be fun.
Well, I'll think of some questions. I just kind of want to do like a year-end review type deal. We just solicit what people thought of the year.
Yeah.
Super Switch Club.
That sounds awesome, man.
We'll definitely have a best editor question. So we'll see how.
Oh, okay. Going to do some battle.
Locasaur.
Well, thanks again, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. It's cool. Thanks for hanging out.
Have a great one.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
@ Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
3, 2, 1, clap. And let's try it again. 3, 2, 1, clap. Between those, I'll
be close enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I also punched my microphone, so that's good. You should be able to see that.
Shoot. I didn't really think of how to start it.
This is Eric Slater from
I guess I'll start with that.
Oh, I've heard it enough.
Welcome back once again. Oh,
sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm going to mute myself.
But yeah, I guess what don't you want from a Zelda movie?
I don't want this recording to expire.
He also looked a little stuttery, so I don't know if that's what the issue was.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, cool. I don't know why that happened, but that was weird.
You were on like secret double muted, not like it wasn't showing muted, but you were muted.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't know.
Well, it seems to be working now, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Fortunately, I have enough RAM that I'm still converting the other video and doing this one. So, all right, is there anything else you want to talk about off the record? This is where we get to bash Bill and stuff.
Oh, we got to figure out something to get Bill on one of these at one point, you know.
I recorded with him.
It's hard to schedule with him.
For RPG years, and you had to record at like 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah,
because that's like in the afternoon, his time.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I did that Fan Fest one with him, I did it like it was like 5 a.m. Central.
Oh, geez.
Whoa. So 6 a.m. y'all's time.
Dang. Yeah.
Which is fine. That's I'm not afraid to get up that early, and it lets me do it before the kiddo gets up.
This is good podcast.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll edit it.
Where did we put that file?
There is
actually one of the
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Okay.
But I am very curious about Star Tropics. And stopping the recording.
Oh yeah. Audacity.